Chapter 6. And hypocritically examined and calculated, I should enlarge upon that thought in this place. Having thus jumped in our opinions, and perfectly satisfied ourselves with demonstration, that these worlds were sisters, both in form, function, and all their capacities. In short, a pair of moons, and a pair of worlds, equally magnetical, sympathetical, and influential, we set up our rest, as to that affair, and went forward. I desired no better acquaintance in my new travels, than this new associate. Never was there such a couple of people met. He was the man in the moon to me, and I the man in the moon to him. He wrote down all I said, and made a book of it, and called it, News from the World and the Moon. And all the town is like to see my minutes under the same title. Nay, and I have been told, he published some such bold truths there, from the allegorical relations he had of me from our world. That he was called before the public authority, who could not bear the just reflections of his damned satirical way of writing. And there they punished the poor man, put him in prison, ruined his family, and not only finished him ultra tenementum, but exposed him in the high places of their capital city, for the mob to laugh at him for a fool. This is a punishment not unlike our pillory, and was appointed for mean criminals, fellows that cheat and cozen people, forge writings, forswear themselves, and the like. And the people, that it was expected would have treated this man very ill, on the contrary pitied him, wished those that set him there placed in his room, and expressed their affections, by loud shouts and acclamations, when he was taken down. But as this happened before my first visit to that world, when I came there all was over with him, his particular enemies were discracked and turned out, and the man was not at all the worse received by his country folks than he was before, and so much for the man in the moon. After we had settled the debate between us, about the nature and quality, I desired him to show me some plan or draft of this new world of his, upon which, he brought me out a pair of very beautiful globes, and there I had an immediate geographical description of the plus. I found it less by degrees than our terrestrial globe, but more land and less water, and as I was particularly concerned to see something in or near the same climate with ourselves, I observed a large extended country to the north, about the latitude of 50 to 56 northern distance. And inquiring of that country, he told me it was one of the best countries in all their world, that it was his native climate, and he was just a going to it, and would take me with him. He told me in general, the country was good, wholesome, fruitful, rarely situate for trade, extraordinarily accommodated with harbors, rivers, and bays for shipping, full of inhabitants. For it had been peopled from all parts, and had in it some of the blood of all the nations in the moon. He told me, as the inhabitants were the most numerous, so they were the strangest people that lived. Both their natures, tempers, qualities, actions, and way of living, was made up of innumerable contradictions. That they were the wisest fools, and the foolishest wise men in the world. The weakest, strongest, richest, poorest, most generous, covetous, bold, cowardly, false, faithful, sober, dissolute, surly, civil, slothful, diligent, peaceable, quarreling, loyal, seditious nation that ever was known. Besides my observations which I made myself, and which could only furnish me with what was present, and which I shall take time to inform my reader with as much care and conciseness as possible, I was beholding to this old Lunarian, for everything that was historical or particular. And first, he informed me, that in this new country they had very seldom any clouds at all, and consequently no extraordinary storms, but a constant serenity, moderate breezes cooled the air, and constant evening exhalations kept the earth moist and fruitful, and as the winds they had, were various and strong enough to assist their navigation, So they were without the terrors, dangers, shipwrecks and destructions, which he knew we were troubled with in this our lunar world, as he called it. The first just observation I made of this was, that I suppose it from hence the wonderful clearness of the air, and the advantage of, so vast optic capacities they enjoyed, was obtained. Alas! Says the old fellow, you see nothing to what some of our great eyes see in some parts of this world, nor do you see anything compared to what you may see by the help of some new invented glasses, of which I may in time let you see the experiment. And perhaps you may find this to be the reason why we do not so abound in books as in your lunar world, and that except it be some extraordinary translations out of your country, you will find but little in our libraries, worth giving you a great deal of trouble. We immediately quitted the philosophical discourse of winds, and I began to be mighty inquisitive after these glasses and translations. And, first, I understood here was a strange sort of glass, that did not so much bring to the eye, as by I know, not what wonderful operation carried out the eye to the object, and quite varies from all our doctrine of optics, by forming several strange phenomena in sight, which we are utterly unacquainted with. Nor could vision, rarefication, or any of our schoolmen's fine terms, stand me in any stead in this case. But here was such additions of piercing organs, particles of transparence, emission, transmission, mediums, contraction of rays, and a thousand applications of things prepared for the wondrous operation, that you may be sure are requisite for the bringing to pass something yet unheard of on this side the moon. First we were informed, by the help of these glasses, strange things, which pass in our world for non-entities, is to be seen, and very perceptible. For example, state polity, in all its meanders, shifts, turns, tricks, and contraries, are so exactly delineated and described, that they are in hopes in time to draw a pair of globes out, to bring all those things to a certainty. Not but that it made some puzzle, even among these clear-sighted nations, to determine what figure the plans and drafts of this undiscovered world of mysteries ought to be described in. Some were of opinion, it ought to be an irregular centagon, a figure with 100 cones or angles. Since the unaccountables of this state science are hid in a million of undiscovered corners, as the craft, subtlety, and hypocrisy of knaves and courtiers have concealed them, never to be found out, but by this wonderful telescope, which seemed to threaten a perfect discovery of all those nudities, which have lain hid in the embryo, and false conceptions of abortive policy, ever since the foundation of the world. Some were of opinion, this plan ought to be circular, and in a globular form, since it was on all sides alike, full of dark spots, untrod mazes, waking mischiefs, and sleeping mysteries, and being delineated like the globes displayed, would discover all the lines of wickedness to the eye at one view. Besides, they fancied some sort of analogy in the rotundity of the figure, with the continued circular motion of all court policies, in the stated round of universal knavery. Others would have had it hieroglyphical, as by a hand in hand, the form representing the affinity between state policy here, and state policy in the infernal regions, with some unkind similes between the economy of Satan's kingdom, and those of most of the temporal powers on earth. But this was thought too unkind. At last it was determined, that neither of these schemes were capable of the vast description, and that, therefore, the drafts must be made single, though not dividing the governments, yet dividing the arts of governing in two proper distinct schemes, viz. 1. A particular plan of public faith, and here we had the experiment immediately made. The representation is qualified for the meridian of any country, as well in our world as theirs. And turning it towards our own world, there I saw plainly an exchequer shut up, and 20,000 mourning families selling their coaches, horses, horse, equipages, and see for bread, the government standing by laughing, and looking on. Hard by I saw the chamber of a great city shut up, and 40,000 orphans turned adrift in the world. Some had no clothes, some no shoes, some no money, and still the city magistrates calling upon other orphans to pay their money in. These things put me in mind of the prophet Ezekiel, and methods I heard the same voice that spoke to him, calling me, and telling me, come hither, and I'll show thee greater abominations than these. So looking still on that vast map, by the help of these magnifying glasses, I saw huge fleets hurried for transport service, but never paid. Vast taxes anticipated, that were never collected. Others collected and appropriated, but misapplied. Millions of tallies struck to be discounted, and the poor paying 40% to receive their money. I saw huge quantities of money drawn in, and little or none issued out. Vast prizes taken from the enemy, and then taken away again at home by friends. Ships savaged on the sea, and sunk in the prize offices. Merchants escaping from enemies at sea, and be pirated by sham embargoes, counterfeit claims, confiscations, and see ashore. There we saw Turkey fleets taken in two convoys, and guarded to the very mouth of the enemy, and then abandoned it for their better security. Here we saw Mons. Poacher train shutting up the townhouse of Paris, and plundering the Bank of Lions. 2. Here we law the state of the war among nations. Here was the French giving sham thanks for victories they never got, and somebody else addressing and congratulating the sublime glory of running away. Here was tea doom for sham victories by land, and there was thanksgiving for ditto by sea. Here we might see two armies fight, both run away, and both come, and thank God for nothing. Here we saw a plan of a late war like that in Ireland. There was all the officers cursing a Dutch general, because the damned rogue would fight, and spoil a good war, that with decent management and good husbandry, might have been eked out this 20 years. There was whole armies hunting two cows to one Irishman, and driving of black cattle declared the noble end of the war. Here we saw a country full of stone walls and strong towns, where every campaign, the trade of war was carried on by the soldiers, with the same intriguing as it was carried on in the council chambers. There was millions of contributions raised, and vast sums collected, but no taxes lessened. Whole plate fleets surprised, but no treasure found. Vast sums lost by enemies, and yet never found by friends, ships loaded with volatile silver, that came away full, and got home empty, whole voyages made to beat nobody, and plunder everybody, 2 millions robbed from the honest merchants, and not a groat salvaged for the honest subjects. There we saw captains lifting men with the government's money, and letting them go again for their own. Ships fitted out at the rates of 2 millions a year, to fight but once in 3 years, and then run away for want of powder and shot. There we saw partition treaties damned, and the whole given away, confederations without allies, allies without quotas, princes without armies, armies without men, and men without money, crowns without kings, kings without subjects, more kings than countries, and more countries than were worth fighting for. Here we could see the King of France upbraiding his neighbors with dishonorably assisting his rebels, though the mischief was, they did it not neither, and in the same breath, assisting the Hungarian rebels against the Emperor, MLDN refusing so dishonorable an action, as to aid the rebellious commissars, but leaguing with the Admirant de Castel, to invade the dominions of his master to whom he swore allegiance. Here we saw Protestants fight against Protestants, to help Papists, Papists against Papists to help Protestants, Protestants call in Turks, to keep faith against Christians that break it. Here we could see Swedes fighting for revenge, and call it religion, cardinals deposing their Catholic prince, to introduce the tyranny of a Lutheran, and call it liberty, armies electing kings, and call it free choice, French conquering Savoy to secure the liberty of Italy. 3. The map of state policy contains abundance of civil transactions, nowhere to be discovered, but in this wonderful country and by this prodigious invention. As first, it shows an eminent prelate running in everybody's debt to relieve the poor and bring to God robbery for burnt offering. It opens a door to the fate of nations, and there we might see the Duke of S.Y. bought 3 times, and his subjects sold every time, Portugal bought 2x, and neither time worth the earnest, Spain bought 1x, but loth to go with the bidder, Venice willing to be bought, if there had been any buyers, Bavaria bought, and run away with the money, the Emperor bought and sold, but bilked the chapman. The French buying kingdoms he can't keep, the Dutch keep kingdoms they never bought, and the English paying their money without purchase. In matters of civil concerns, here was to be seen religion with no outside, and much outside with no religion, much strife about peace, and no peace in the design. Here was plunder without violence, violence without persecution, conscience without good works, and good works without charity, parties cutting one another's throats for God's sake, pulling down churches to propagandified, and making divisions by way of association. Here we have peace and union brought to pass the shortest way, extirpation and destruction proved to be the road to plenty and pleasure. Here all the wise nations, a learned author would have quoted, if he could have found them, are to be seen, who carry on exclusive laws to the general safety and satisfaction of their subjects. Occasional bills may have here a particular historical, categorical description, but of them by themselves. Here you might have the rise, original, lawfulness, usefulness, and necessity of passive obedience, as fairly represented as a system of divinity, and as clearly demonstrated, as by a geographical description, and which exceeds our mean understanding here, 'tis by the wonderful assistance of these glasses, plainly discerned to be coherent with resistance, taking arms, calling in foreign powers, and the like. Here you have a plain discovery of C of E. Politics, and a map of loyalty. Here 'tis as plainly demonstrated as the nose in a man's face, provided he has one, that a man may abdicate, drive away, and dethrone his prince, and yet be absolutely and entirely free from, and innocent of the least fracture, breach, encroachment, or entrenchment, upon the doctrine of non-resistance. Can shoot at his prince without any design to kill him, fight against him without raising rebellion, and take up arms, without leaving war against his prince. Here they can persecute dissenters, without desiring they should conform to the church they would overthrow, pray for the prince they dare not name, and name the prince they do not pray for. By the help of these glasses strange insights are made into the vast mysterious dark world of state policy, but that which is yet more strange, and requires vast volumes, to descend to the particulars of, and huge diagrams, spheres, charts, and a thousand nice things to display is, that in this vast intelligent discovery it is not only made plain, that those things are so, but all the vast contradictions are made rational, reconciled to practice, and brought down to demonstration. German clockwork, the perpetual motions, the prim mobiles of our short-sighted world, are trifles to these nicer disquisitions. Here it would be plain and rational, why a parliament man will spend 5,000 L to be chosen, that cannot get a groat honestly by sitting there. It would be easily made out to be rational, why he that rails most at a court, is soonest received into it. Here it would be very plain, how great estates are got in little places, and double in none at all. 'Tis easy to be proved honest, and faithful to victual the French fleet out of English stores, and let our own navy want them. A long sight, or a large lunar perspective, will make all these things, not only plain in fact, but rational and justifiable to all the world. 'Tis a strange thing to anybody without doubt, that has not been in that clear-sighted region, to comprehend that those we call high flyers in England are the only friends to the dissenters, and have been the most diligent and faithful in their interest of any people in the nation. And yet so it is, gentlemen, and they ought to have the thanks of the whole body for it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.